chapel program of October 29th, the Student Coordinating Council will be in charge, and Roy Frierson will be the speaker for the event.
He said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. May we pray. To the one who is all that is, may we bow humbly and reverently with the full recognition of our ignorance and our inabilities. Lord, we would pray that you would cleanse from us our pride, our selfishness, and that you would replace this with a clean heart and a right spirit, that we may go forth in love, seeking to serve you by being a servant to all mankind. Amen.
Would not be fair that I should stand here without saying something about the privilege and the honor which I feel in having been asked to do so. I'm grateful for an institution such as this, which can allow a person such as myself this kind of privilege. At the entrance to the Roman Catholic Pavilion in the New York World's Fair, you'll see a sign which asks the question and then answers the question, "Has St. Peter's tomb been found?" The answer, "Yes, St. Peter's tomb has been found." For millions of people across our world, this is truth. But I ask you this morning, is this truth? Is truth that simple? Some church man makes a statement, so there's no room to question. There's no place where we could say, who says so? Or why is this true? The truth shall make you free. Some years ago, I was told that truth was found in the Bible. This was all divine truth. The reason? Because Jesus sat on a rock in Jerusalem and wrote it. You know better than that now. It didn't happen just that way, did it? Some weeks ago, I was sitting in class. I listened to the statement by the professor. I've heard this before, several times, and I suppose I shall hear it again. But this time it spoke to me. This time it cut through into my soul in a way it never has before from any other professor at any time ever. What was it? The gospel can only say what it says. We can make it say nothing else if we're interested in the truth. This did it. All of a sudden, it became alive in a new way. There were dimensions of my own soul which began to reach out that I didn't find standing preaching on the street corner as a Salvation Army captain 15 years ago. There were dimensions there that were never uncovered even as a student in Duke Divinity School, struggling, trying to keep up with grades and theology and questions in my own soul and heart. But here it was, just that simple. The question, what do you want? Do you want tradition? Do you want a comfortable place where there is no question, no room for personal involvement? Or do you want truth? I would confess to you this morning that this has not always been my quest. And it came as an overflowing of God's love when it finally came through to me. I'm convinced today that truth is... I would suggest then that we pull in as our allies rather than our opponents all the technological know-how, all scientific information, all kinds of scholarly advancement, because we're seeking the same thing. Ultimately, truth. But what about this idea that truth can make you free? Can I verify that statement? Well, I find it in the Bible. I find it in the Gospel of St. John. I chose a reference from this book because I have no parallels with which to compare it. And I find it a little simpler to talk from this one in this situation. But it says, in the 8th chapter of St. John's Gospel, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I was standing on a street corner in Charleston, West Virginia, preaching 12 years ago. I was little more than a boy. But I thought I had all that a man needed with which to face life and fight the devil. I found since that I had neither, and very likely never will. But I shall continue to seek wherever I'm privileged to seek. A man standing by the curbstone was especially attentive this day. When you preach on the street, you get accustomed to people walking away from you. We don't have this kind of situation. And if you don't say something interesting, they just catch the next bus and go home, or back to town, or whatever the case. It's a great discipline and extremely humbling. Sometime later, the same afternoon, my phone rang. The chief of police called and said, "Captain, I have a man here who came to give himself up." And I said, "I don't understand." He said he heard your service on the street corner today, and he's convinced that having been an escapee from jail, He can never be free unless he goes back to jail and faces the truth of his just sentence. So here was a man in jail, free. Free for the first time in 10 years. Now, I think with this kind of understanding, we begin to see that the truth can make you free. Really. Our fathers chained in prisons dark were still in heart and conscience free. It's a kind of freedom that you don't hear today in election campaigns. It's a kind of freedom that most of us aren't really too anxious to seek for in life anymore. Freedom of the soul, freedom of expression, freedom of the intellect, freedom of the thoughts that would come from our minds and engulf ultimate reality as we understand that reality to be. This is the freedom for which I cried and prayed. This is the freedom which has kept me awake all night, on my knees in tears, begging for a vision, begging for something supernatural. And then the time came when I awoke to the stark reality that God also speaks naturally. And this was a blessing to my heart. God has spoken to me here in this school. I'm convinced that in the years to come, I shall represent this school. And I want to give you a vote of confidence, our faculty, the staff here. You've been kind and courteous, at times even gracious, more so than I deserve. And as one of the less able men, I want you to know what this means to us. We don't claim greatness. We aren't wired for 220 performance. We shall not graduate magna cum laude. Most of us shall graduate magna cum lucky. But it isn't always heights to which we have attained. It may be that somewhere back in the mind of a loving God, there is some reward for the distance which we've traveled. And some of us started way back, way back. I'm convinced that in the truth, we are free to discover. We are free to explore. We are free to invent. We are free to inquire. We are free to question. We are free to doubt. But don't ever forget that we are also free to believe. In our quest for truth, we are free from superstition. We are free from old wives' tales. We are free from existential estrangement or from hell or whatever term you want to use. It's apropos here. Because in Christ, in this one who is the incarnation of truth, there is freedom. And as we follow his path, we find that this is not an unmarked path because he traveled it before us. He has gone before to prepare the way. One whose shoes we are not worthy to stoop down and unloose. You can know him not quite so much by the nail scars in his hand as by the hate scars on his heart. placed there because of our own rebellion, placed there by our disbelief, by our unconcern, and he died of a broken heart. Truth has led me in this direction. I find those who would be uncomfortable in this kind of environment. But I think when this is true, primarily, it's true because they may not have given proper attention to where they are standing. There's a forum in this place where we are free, free to seek, free to believe, free to question, free to reach out in any direction that we will with the ultimate truth before us that God himself will be revealed in our searching and in our seeking and in our doubting. This approach confuses the people of the world. How a man could be in prison, as was Paul. Yet it was he who was free. The prisoner came to him and wanted advice. The keeper of the jail asked Paul, "What must I do to be free?" The redaction, "My own." And Paul said, "Accept the truth." The truth as proclaimed in Jesus the Christ. And this made sense. Here the man who was the prisoner became the master. I think of our early Christians, and I can't get away from the tradition which is ours. These who came and gave themselves, the alternative was placed before them. Either you go free into the streets or into the arena and face the hungry beast. They turned and went into the hungry beast. Free. Free in death. More so than to be a prisoner in life. A philosopher drank the hemlock. A Nathan Hale faced the gallows. A Buddhist monk became a human torch. Jesus the Christ set his face towards Jerusalem, towards the cross, seeking truth and reality, existential truth, nothing to hide, everything to gain. I wrote this down. I want to say it right. There is for us too today an existential encounter with the ultimate transcendent reality. I should ask you, do you really want the truth, or is it more comfortable where you now stand? Have you really searched your soul? I'm convinced today there is one who has gone before us. The road is not easy. The way is not smooth. But there's one final consolation. It leads home. Our Father, we're thankful this day for this opportunity to stand in this sacred hall, to speak before these whom I have learned to love and to appreciate. We We're grateful, dear God, for what we have learned through the encounter with ultimate reality, as experienced and expressed by Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray.